Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Trash heaps are a health safety issue, by Kim Smith. On paper, West Odessa has one landfill. Ricky George and his crew of six spend their days trying to eliminate the countless others have sprung over the years. Right now, the worst one is on Avenue 1 behind a private residence. George, Ector County's Environmental Enforcement Director, said, "There are multiple piles of garbage, literally taller than junked-out trucks, dotting the quarter-acre yard. Tires, propane tanks, shoes, and a myriad of discarded artifacts are mixed in with the mountains of dirt, broken glass, nails, dog feces, various other pieces of trash obscure what, if any, pathways and if a lawn used to exist." A dilapidated structure on the recently property caught fire, and Odessa firefighters were forced to navigate a veritable minefield of debris and extinguish it, George said. "Many don't understand, but it's not just unsightliness he and his colleagues are battling," George said. "The trash heaps up in West Odessa are a health and safety issue. Yeah, it looks bad, but, well, what does it provide? It provides a harbor of mice, rats, mosquitoes, and insects. Okay, what eats mice? Snakes, all right? So what a health safety issue. Rats and mice carrying diseases, right? All kinds of diseases. Mice and rats carry mosquitoes. They're serial killers in the world, right? Zika virus, West Nile, you name it. They carry it," George said. As George prepares to leave the house, a next-door neighbor stops to thank him for his efforts. "It seems the front yard of the house used to look as bad as the back," he tells George. "The family of the late owner offered to sell him the house and property for $10,000. I told them no because it would cost me $40,000 to clean it up. Plus, I just don't have the time," he said. He also tells George he's killed 7 rattlesnakes in the yard so far. Rattlesnakes attract the mice, making their homes in the mess. "Maybe the price will come down," said Moore. The neighborhood said hopefully be going on this way. The problem: Ector County is 900 square miles. The area west of Loop 338 is inhabited by anywhere from 50,000 to 80,000 people, George said. Some were desperate to find some place to live during the oilfield boom, cause housing shortages. Others just like their space, but either way, they plop down trailers despite the lack of water and sewage systems and trash service. Some of those who live in the area pack up their trash and take it to the landfill, George said. Others open up their doors and toss it outside. Up until 2011, there were no one to stop them. 11 years ago, George was an investigator with the Ector County Attorney's Office after having spent more than a decade as a law enforcement officer in Odessa and the Austin area. Susan Redfern, who was the Ector County judge back then, asked George if he'd be willing to take on the job. "The county's health department has hired someone to start addressing illegal dumping, but it only lasted a year." George soon discovered the state actually has illegal dumping laws. In Texas, 254 counties, only a dozen or so enforce them, and only a couple do so for full time. "I'd never even heard of these laws." I was like, "I'd been a police officer for a long time. Why haven't I heard of these environmental laws? I wasn't taught these in the police academy. Prosecutors aren't taught these in law school," George said. New approach. George immediately went to work, determined not to make the same mistake so many other cities and counties do. If you have tall weeds in your yard, what do? They send you a dirty letter. They call them notice of violations. But what you're doing is you're sending a crook a letter to say, "Please stop breaking the law, okay?" Well, that doesn't work. It's proven not to work, George said. Instead of writing letters, George began issuing warrants and making arrests. Technically, most people can be arrested on felonies based on the weight of the trash they dump. But George said 98% of those they encounter are arrested on misdemeanor crimes, and few end up being locked up behind bars. "Most of the people that we encounter, we just tell them, okay, we're going to issue a warrant for your arrest. We're not going to come get you. We'll call you when the arrest's ready and you can go get your bond ahead of time and just turn yourself in at the jail. Have your bond ready, so it's just kind of an in-and-out process, George said, and we'll make it easy on them as possible, because that's 99% of the cases. Since 2011, the county increased George's budget and staff. As of this month, George has four officers, having finally been able to fill two open positions. He also has an administrative assistant and two men who traveled throughout the county, filling up a large dump truck purchased last year. Thanks to the additional staffing and technology, the county has had some success in recent years, George said. The technology? Cameras that have been hidden around the county that capture offenders in action. Not only a few people dumping, but George said the county's largest pile of illegal dumping tires has been cut in half because of the reputation program they've implemented. When most people are arrested, they are told that they can pick up whatever they've dumped and some tires before their first court date, and they'd be provided documentation they took the items to a legal disposal facility. Investigators asked District Attorney Dusty Galvan's office to dismiss the case against them. George said, most take them up on the offer. In fact, there was once more than 100,000 tires at West 52nd Street and Oak Hill. Roughly half of them are gone now, George said. Once they're all gone, George said that we'll be picked up the tires dumped on Rawhide Road. The tires were left at both sides by a man who served 180 days in jail for illegal dumping, George said. The man ran a tire shop, charged residents $6 per tire disposal fee, and instead of disposing of them the proper way, took them and dumped them. Unlike the location on 52nd and Oak Hill, the Rawhide Road location is heavily populated, George said. This is the pile I'm going to work on next, because if things catch on fire, this whole neighborhood's going to go up, George said. You've got to think there's no water. There are no fire hydrants, and a fire truck has only 700 gallons on board. This one scares me. The pile right here scares me a lot. Biggest issues. Ector County has a huge problem with illegal dumping tires, George said. People simply don't want to pay to dispose of them properly, and there's few companies willing to recycle them because it actually costs more money to break down tires, repurpose them, than it does to create an entirely new tire. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality estimates Ector County has 2.5 to 5 million tires on the ground, but the numbers were way off, George said. Those tires are just the ones they know about. We're out here every day. We know about much more than they know about, and we're estimating the numbers closer to about 8 million, George said. Our county is the worst, and we're talking about Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, all these major metropolitan areas, and this county is the worst one for tires. Mattresses and couches are also huge problems, he said. He and his staff, who work four 10-hour shift weekdays, check on known dump spots regularly, respond to calls from residents, and look for random dump sites, George said. If they spot a mattress on the side of the road, it'll get picked up, he said. Trash attracts trash. You don't have to water it. You don't have to fertilize it. It'll grow. There'll be a couch there tomorrow, and then it'll be tires. So it's the whole broken window theory. You know you got to keep things clean because the trash attracts trash, George said. Ideas. Because West Odessans don't have regular trash service, the county periodically allows residents to drop off bulky items for free, George said. The turnout is typically massive, and sometimes the county actually comes out ahead when the scrap metal they collect at the event is sold for more than the cost of the event. Those events alone are not enough to keep on top of the problem, however, so George said he is constantly trying to think of ways to combat the issue. Although he knows the county doesn't want to get into the trash business, George would like to convince the commissioner's court to purchase 30-yard bathtub containers that hold 5 tons of trash each. Each of the tubs could then be rented out for the cost the program would pay for itself in rental fees, he said. While theoretically residents can rent their own trash containers, private companies can't keep up with the demand and tend to charge a large sum, George said. The city of Odessa generates a lot of revenue out of the renting trash containers. Over $1 million the city makes renting the big trash containers. George has also been mulling over the idea of creating a citizens collection center where people could drop off their old couches, mattresses, and like for small fee over the weekend at South Trip Avenue and Bulls Road, property the county already owns. If we charge $5 or $10 for a couch or mattress, by the time we reach a ton, we've covered our disposal costs and they don't have to wait in line at the landfill, George said. I think it's a good idea. We have the spot to do it. We have the land to do it. We would need some concrete and construction work done, but it would provide citizens an opportunity to find a place to go to get rid of their mattresses and couches for a very, very cheap rate. That's what they voted on for the sales tax was to stop illegal dumping. This is an approach to do it. Provide them with an alternative. He'd also like to have a used oil collection center. If people had an alternative, George said, perhaps the county wouldn't see property like this one on Avenue I. People think I'm a mean cop, right? I throw everybody in jail, but no, I'm trying to find a way to help people get out of this, and that's giving them an alternative, George said. Although they've never done it before, theoretically, the county could go through a process that would allow them to knock the house down, raise the property, and place a lien on it. However, the county doesn't have a big enough excavator to get the job done, George said. So I know the commissioner was getting a lot of neighborhood complaints about it, but I honestly don't have an answer for that. What you're going to do, George said. George is also searching for ways to help educate people about illegal dumping and encouraging others to report when they see it. He'd love to see a nonprofit group go out on weekends, take pictures of illegal dumping sites, and send them to the county so there are more eyes and ears in the community. Often we encounter people who appear to be shocked they've broken the law. A lot of people get confused. I can do what I want on my own property. I'm like, can you sell cocaine on your own property? Can you commit murder on your own property? You can't break any other state law on your own property. Why would be able to legally dump on your own property? But a lot of people think they can, George says. Progress. Slowly but surely, George thinks he and his staff are changing the culture of Ector County. I think we're improving the quality of life, which is our mission statement. To improve the quality of life for citizens in Ector County by enforcing environmental law, George said. And just as a witness, a citizen came up and expressed his gratitude for approaching an issue that nobody else has done in Ector County. That's what we pride ourselves on. He took a job that everybody refused to do. They've made such a name for themselves, George said. He routinely gets calls from counties around the state asking for advice, and he was invited to speak at a statewide commission meeting about his work. I didn't think talking trash would be the big as it hit, but oh my gosh, there's a line out there at the door to talk to me about it, George said. So I think the success in the last several years has not been only locally but statewide. The recognition you're getting statewide is like Fort Worth. They're huge and their units call us for guidance. It's things like that that I identify as success stories. Odessa's Got Talent Returns in April by Michael Bauer. Last year's inaugural Odessa's Got Talent fundraiser proved to be a hit, and it's coming back for a second year this spring. The fundraiser, which is put on by the Permian Basin Mission Center, is a variety show featuring local residents showcasing their talents and skills. We're thrilled with the success from last year. Fundraising chair and board member at the Permian Basin Mission Center, Christy Bett, said, "We had a lot of people already reaching out to find out if we're going to do it again, and we definitely are. We're thrilled to bring it back. One major difference is that this year's Odessa's Got Talent will take place earlier in the spring rather than in the middle of the summer like last year. This year's show is scheduled for 7 p.m. April 29th at First Odessa. We've moved it up to the spring because we had some feedback, but there were some conflicts and people out of town and whatnot," Bates said. "So we moved it up to the spring so that more people could be available. The talent show will once again feature 16 contestants, split up into youth divisions and adult divisions. Those who wish to audition for the show can do so virtually at tinyurl.com/yc2jxzut. People wanting to participate will do so by recording a current video of them performing their act with a maximum of 5 minutes before completing the registration form and then uploading their video. Auditions are open until April 3rd. Finalists will be announced April 6th and will perform at the live event with a chance to compete for $9,000 in prize money. There will also be a People's Choice Award, which is $1,000, and people can vote for online as soon as the finalists are announced. The format will be the same, Bates said. We expect a wide variety of talents. Last year, we had bands to hula hoop to guitar soloists. We're hoping for the same kind of variety. We ended up with a really great show, so we welcome all sorts of variety and hope to make a great show. Bates said last year's show raised around $80,000. This year, they're hoping to raise $95,000. We definitely exceeded our budget last year, so this year we've increased our budget, Bates said. The show will feature three different judges, including Sarah Johnson, Shelby Landgraf, and Eric Baker. We had a lot of guys really enjoy it last year, Bates said. We had contestants enjoyed being on stage and being able to show their talents, and the audience really seemed to enjoy it. It was a good show, and we're proud of Odessans and surrounding communities that came out and represented. The Permian Basin Mission Center is a local resource center for those in need. Bates stressed there is their own fundraiser of the year. The Permian Basin Mission Center provides emergency food boxes to clients in need, Bates said. They also help supplement rent and utility needs. And there's also a clothing store where they provide free clothing to anyone who needs it and other essentials. More information about Odessa's Got Talent and the Permian Basin Mission Center can be found at tinyurl.com/3vbxt2mx. Death Notices. Mary Helen Lopez Garza, Odessa. Mary Helen Lopez Garza, 69, of Odessa, died Monday, February 28, 2022, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 1 p.m., March 10, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Adam Lujan is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Stephanie Nicole Townsend, Midland. Stephanie Nicole Townsend, 42, of Midland, died Wednesday, March 2, 2022, in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m., March 7, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Axel Venezuela Estrada, Odessa. Axel Venezuela Estrada, one day of Odessa, died Friday, February 25, 2022, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. March 8, 2022, at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Meds or exercise for stiff legs? Dear Dr. Roach, I have stiff legs when I get up in the morning. I can alleviate the pain with stretching exercises, but it has been getting harder to totally get rid of my leg stiffness. I am 82 years old and getting stiffer each year. Is there a medicine or secret exercise for stiff leg muscles? Answer. I'm not 100% sure it's your muscles that are sore. Most people at age 82 have some degree of joint stiffness, although it can be hard sometimes to tell exactly what structure is causing the stiffness or discomfort. In my experience, joint stiffness from osteoarthritis is a much more common cause of leg stiffness in the morning or after prolonged sitting than muscle pain. Regular, moderate exercise is an effective treatment and preventative for both types of pain. Muscle pain and tenderness to touch in the muscle itself should prompt a visit to the doctor. I would be especially concerned if you had tenderness in the leg muscles on an exam and were taking a medication that could cause muscle damage, such as a statin. Dear Abby, hardworking wife finally ready to hit the bricks. Dear Abby, I have been married to Arthur for 50 years. There have been many problems in our marriage, and we even separated a couple of times. I had kids to raise and never enough money to break it off completely. Over the last 13 years, my husband has been so-called unable to work and on disability. I have worked to keep us afloat while he eats and sleeps and has gained 100 pounds. My mother passed away this year, and I will inherit money after my siblings and I sell her house. Would it be ridiculous for me to move out and get my own apartment? I am very unhappy living with Arthur, and he can make it on his Social Security, which I helped him to maximize. Really needs a change. Dear Really Needs, the question you are asking is a legal one. Laws vary depending upon where you live. Before making any changes, you need to discuss this with an attorney to determine what the financial implications are for you if you should divorce Arthur. Do it now, before your mother's estate is settled. Dear Abby, my daughter and her husband have created online family albums. My son-in-law takes most of the pictures. When we visit, he rarely takes any picture of our side of the family, but he always takes pictures of his own family. My daughter doesn't seem to care or notice that we are absent from the albums. I'm afraid that in years to come, our grandchildren will look at those albums and think we weren't there. The other grandparents once said that the grandkids always talk about us, and I got the impression they felt threatened. I know they shared it with their son. We are hurt. The Big Picture in the East. Dear Big Picture, your fear of being erased by omission may be valid. Because you mentioned that your daughter doesn't notice, talk privately with her and tell her that you and her father are hurt because of the discrepancy. Unless you do, the situation won't change. While you're at it, ask if you can upload your own photos to the albums and continue making non-photo memories with your grandchildren as you have been doing. Dear Abby, I recently purchased some eyeglasses that my wife totally hates. The frames are round and somewhat retro in style. I have received compliments on them from my friends and coworkers. The rub is, my wife has told me she doesn't want me wearing them and that by wearing them, I'm disrespecting her, disregarding her feelings, and by extension, not caring about her. I am feeling very controlled, not being able to wear the glasses I like. I love her, but I think I'm old enough to make my own personal choices. By the way, I never tell her what she may or may not wear, as I feel that is her personal choice as well. Am I wrong to wear them? Seeing Red in Washington. Dear Seeing Red, no, you are not wrong. Your wife is wrong to equate your choice in eyewear with your regard for her. From where I sit, it looks like an attempt to fight dirty. Don't fall for it.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.